Good evening. Sure. Good evening. Good evening. Am I coming out? Okay. Guess it's my ears then. Not much. Okay, well, thank you. The sermon in the bulletin says, How to Enjoy Bible Study, and I did give that title to Julie, but after I gave her that title, I decided to do it a little different way. So we will talk about how to enjoy Bible study. We will talk about that on a later Sunday night. But tonight we're still going to talk about the Bible, but I want us to talk about the Bible in the home. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, open your Bibles there. 2 Timothy chapter 3. In verses 14 and 15, Paul tells young Timothy, You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul tells Timothy, you've known these things. You've been taught these things since your childhood. You've known the sacred scriptures. Now, certainly the sacred scriptures that Paul would be referring to here as he talks to Timothy would not be the New Testament, but would certainly be the Old Testament as it was most likely taught to him by his mother and his grandmother, which Paul talks about in another location. You know, we take for granted the freedom that we have to have so many copies of the Bible. I don't know how many Bibles. I have my preaching Bible, and I have a studying Bible, and I have a writing Bible. I have all kinds of different Bibles. I have different versions. I have a Bible program that has about 30 different types. You know, we have so many Bibles. And I think we sometimes take for granted that great blessing, to have a Bible. I mean, we don't even think about that. I mean, to get a Bible is easy. And yet back when the Cold War ended and the wall fell and Russia was finally open to allowing religious materials into the country, they sent a large freighter of Bibles to Russia. And they took these Bibles to a large convention center, in fact the largest convention center that they had in Moscow. And people lined up around that convention center three times. Stood in line for days to get one Bible. To be able to have what they had been denied for decades. To be able to have God's Word in their hands. Do we realize the power of that? That when you hold your Bible, you're holding, and within these pages are the words of God that He wanted you to know, that He wants me to know. And that's so special. You know, we need to do more, though, than just have copies of Bibles in our homes, don't we? You know, you can have 10 Bibles in your home and still be lost. Still not know the truth that are found on the pages of those books. They need to be more than just something that's put in important places in our home. They need to be something that are put in our hearts, that we dedicate ourselves to there in the home. In too many families, we have little to do with Bible except in connection to worship services or Bible classes that are taking place during our times of Bible study and worship. But when we get home, our Bibles are dropped on a shelf or put on a table or put in a drawer, and they're not opened again until we go back to services. And we cannot survive like that. We cannot survive spiritually, and we cannot grow spiritually if that is the way that the Bible exists within our homes. You know, study of the Bible and talking about it needs to be a vital part of our daily home life. God has always wanted His Word to be studied. He's always wanted it to be talked about in the homes of His people. Genesis chapter 18, verse 19, going all the way back to Abraham, God says about Abraham, For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they may keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. You know, the only way God was really going to be able to give Abraham all the promises that he had made to him was for Abraham's descendants, right? To live as God would have them to live. All the promises, and yes, he gave it to them, but he also took it away from them because they lived unfaithfully to him. And there was even one point, if you remember when they made the golden calf there at the foot of Sinai, even with all that was going on Mount Sinai, the shaking and the lightning and the smoke, and all that stuff, they still had the nerve and the gall and the audacity to build that golden calf and dance around it naked. And God told Moses, I love the switch in the way that God talks. He says, your people. That's like when Jeannie says that your child over there, I know that they're misbehaving. It would be our child if they were doing something good, or hers. And God says, your people. And he says, I'm going to kill them all. And I will keep my promise to Abraham through you. And we, you know, something goes on there that I don't understand. We're not going to get into it. It's not our lesson tonight. But Moses talks to God about destroying the people and God relents. He does not destroy the people, as we well know. But see, Abraham needed to teach his children. His children need to teach their children generationally, teaching in the home that all those promises could be given. You know, the parents in Israel were to talk to their children about the plagues of Egypt. In Exodus chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, they were to tell their children about what took place there in Egypt. They were to talk to them, according to Exodus chapter 12, verses 26 and 27, about the Passover. They were to explain it to them. We need to explain to our children about what the Lord's Supper means, that it's not just eating crackers and drinking juice, that there's something powerful meant in what we do. They were to talk to them about the law of the firstborn in Exodus 13. They were to tell them about God speaking to them in Exodus chapter 13, verses 14 and 15. I'm sorry, Deuteronomy chapter 4, and verses 9 and 10. They were to tell them the law of God, Deuteronomy chapter 6. And then they were also to tell them about the memorial stones at the Jordan River where they crossed into the land of promise in Joshua chapter 4. In verses 4 through 7, they were to tell those things to their children. I want you to tell these to your children. I want you to talk about these things at home. I want your children to know what I have done, so that they can then turn around and tell their children and their children. You know, the things of God were to be talked about, not just at special religious times, but they were to be talked about amongst the daily activities that went on in the home. God was to be a person that was always present in their home. Someone always talked about in the home. What impression do we leave on our children when we restrict talking about God to just the worship services? Deuteronomy chapter 6, I mentioned this to you a while ago, 6 through 9. God says, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. And then what do I do with them, God? You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, and so on. Deuteronomy 6, 6 through 9. What do you want me to do, God, when I take your word and I put it in my heart? I want you to tell your children. I want you to talk about it when you're sitting, when you're walking, when you're laying down to go to bed at night, when you get up in the morning. I want you to have me on your mind. I want you to teach them about me, because it's important. You know, the home is the primary place where we are to learn the Bible. You know, a lot of times people ask preachers, where did you get trained? I'll tell you where I got trained. I got trained in a 65 Ford truck as me and my dad drove 20 miles to church and back, talking Bible there and back. I was trained to be a preacher at home. I went to a school, but I was trained to be a preacher long before I ever went to any school for preaching. And folks, our children over here will become preachers and elders because they are trained in the home to be preachers and elders one day. They will never get enough here in this building to build what they need to have in their lives to move forward. You know, it's a sad statistic in the church that we lose nearly 50% of our young people upon graduation. Folks, that's a direct reflection of we need more in the home. It's not necessarily an indictment of the local congregation, but it is an indictment of the home, and we need to do more. We need to do more talking about God when we're walking, when we're sitting, when we're lying down, when we're rising up, so that our children know God and see God in us. Whatever Bible instruction the local congregation may provide as a supplement for either adults or children, there is no substitute for learning the text and God's truths in the home. With regard to children, parents have the responsibility of teaching children to be faithful to God. That is not the responsibility of the Cary Church of Christ or any Church of Christ. That is the responsibility of mom and dad. We want to help, but we can't do it for you. That's the first thing I told parents when I was a youth minister. I cannot raise your children for the Lord. That's your job. I'll help. Let me know how. But I can't do it for you. Proverbs 22:6, a very familiar text. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And that doesn't mean a child will never go astray, will never, you know, make some bad choices. But if you have instilled in him, like the prodigal son, if you have instilled in him the truth, if he does stray away one day, he will know where home is. And you can pray and hope that one day when he opens up his eyes and comes to himself as the prodigal son did in the pig pen of sin, that he'll say, I want to go home. And he knows where that's at. He's already been shown the map. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, Paul says, Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Do you hear that, dads? We have a great responsibility put upon us. We are the spiritual leaders of our homes. We have been given the great responsibility of raising our children, and teaching them, disciplining them in the Lord, and teaching them the instructions of the Lord, that they might grow up and be faithful to God. Fathers are given that specific responsibility. And there is no greater problem among us than this widespread abdication of fathers, abdicating this God-given role of doing just this. I had a book some years back, and one time I actually had it on my desk, and some people thought it was kind of a... They read the title and got kind of raised an eyebrow at me. It was called What Every Woman Wants But Few Women Find. I was already married. You know what that is? Male spiritual leadership. And yet so few find it. In the class with Brother Goff on Tuesday morning last week, he asked the question, why does it seem sometimes that women take over? Well, nature abhors a vacuum. And men, if we won't lead, somebody's going to step in and lead. So we have a great responsibility in our home as fathers and men, husbands, to lead spiritually. Too often, too many men do not have the time, or they do not have the inclination or the ability to teach God's Word in their home. But more than being a place where the contents of the Bible are to be learned, the home is the ideal place for the truth of the Bible to be learned in real life situations and real life relationships. In other words, the home is where the Bible's seen the most. Home is where we most often pass beyond knowing the truths of the Bible to knowing that they are true at a very practical level. Home is where we most often learn the truth of God's truths, right? We see it. Children, you know, I can remember when Jonah was very small and I had a pair of my... Jenny would gripe at me for just taking my shoes off wherever I was. I said, well, that way I know where they are. You know, I can easily get right back into them. But Jonah put his feet in them and was trying to walk in them as a small child. Our children are going to emulate us. What they see at home. And they need to see the truths of God's Word. That is what makes it true to them in their lives. It is what makes it real. Home is where the truths of God's Word are not only taught, they are modeled, they are illustrated, and they are brought to life in the way mom and dad live in front of their children. By keeping the Bible at the periphery of our home life, we miss many of the valuable teaching and learning opportunities presented by the situations that arise daily in our lives. And folks, there's plenty of opportunities every week for you to show your children what God would like you, what like for them to do in their lives as you face your difficulties. So how can we put the Bible at the center of our home? Well, we can make sure that every member of our families have a Bible, and that they are taught from it, and that they take care of it. And you say, Nathan, come on, it is just a book. And I grant, this is just a book. There's nothing unique in regards to the binding or anything like that. It's a book. What's in it's very powerful. But let me tell you something about how we train our children. My mom and dad always made sure that we took care of our Bibles. You were expected to take care of it. It was a very important book for you. Now, my dad does not think that the book is any more, you know, the book itself is anything holy or anything, but it taught me that God's Word is important. This was the physical way of teaching me something spiritual. That I take care of this because what's in it is very important. Where if I just say, well, I don't care what you do with it, and they lost, oh well, so you lost your Bible, that comes across to be, well, it wasn't that important to begin with. But if we teach our children to take care of their Bibles, that they're very important, they're one of their most valuable possessions, we teach them something about God's Word. And that is how important it is for our lives. You know, we can never give the Bible... We can even give the Bible a prominent place in our home. We want people to know that we are people of the book. You know, we can actually make plans as well for educating our family in the Scriptures. We need purposeful parenting. We need determined and planned parenting. You need to think about, how am I going to raise my children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord? Yeah, I know the Lord says that, but how are you planning to do that? That's not something we should approach haphazardly. Our children's souls depend upon it. It should be something that we are purposeful in. That we take time to think about what we're going to do. What we and our children need to know about the Bible is much too important to be left to chance. Assuming that they'll find out either at church or in Bible class or somewhere else, we just can't assume that that's going to happen. I know people say, well, I'm going to send my child to a Christian college, folks. I'm all for sending your children to a Christian college. But you better have taught them how to be a Christian before you send them there. Because it won't matter whether they go to UNC, NC State, wherever, or Fried Hardeman. If you haven't taught them that, Christian college isn't going to help them. You have a job to do. It's a very important job, and we need to make sure we're doing it. We need to have a definite purpose and plan for learning God's Word in our families. You know, we can also make it a priority to take the Bible out of that special compartment we may. I think Brother Goff told one night about the woman who said, oh, go get me the book that's so, when the preacher came to visit her, get me the book that's so dear to your mama, and they brought her the TV guide, right? We need to take the Bible out of its special compartment where we've kept it in our lives and involve it in the routine of our daily lives. That's that when we rise up, when we lay down, when we're walking, right? That God talked about in Deuteronomy. We can read and study the Bible every day as individuals. We can put more into preparation at home for our adult congregation classes. Brother Frank Lynch, church I grew up in. This mic is trying to pull my head over to the right. I'm going to start preaching like that. Brother Frank Lynch, the church I grew up in, whatever we were studying, if we were studying Romans on Sunday morning, he would read Romans, the whole book, not just the chapter we were studying. He'd read Romans the whole book every single day. Now, it took my dad a year to teach Romans. So he read the book of Romans every single day for a year. You think he knew God's Word? I can tell you he did. Whatever we're teaching on Wednesday night, he read the book every single day as long as we were studying it. And he had such wonderful knowledge to impart. You know, we can put more preparation into our classes. We can be more involved in what our children are doing in their Bible classes. Make sure you know what your children are being taught. Help them. Make sure they're getting their lessons done. Make sure that they're studying the things that they need to study. We can have regular family Bible studies and devotionals in our families. We need to have those. We can read our children bedtime Bible stories. They're very small children. Tell them Bible stories when they go to bed at night. Give them that foundation of the wonderful, rich stories that are found throughout the Old Testament especially. We can and we must talk about God and His Word in our homes. I want to challenge you as we conclude tonight. I want to challenge you to do something with me and my family. And that is being a part of Lads to Leaders, they have a thing called Parade of Winners. And it's about reading your Bible. Now I want to challenge you. You got 6 months. You can read the New Testament fairly easily in 6 months, 2 or 3 chapters a day. And I challenge you to do that in the next 6 months. They have a particular category called Parade of Winners, and you can actually, you know, they give medals to the family, to the children, to whoever has done it. Sit down and read those chapters each day with your children. If they're a part of Last Leaders and will be going, they'll be able to go up on stage and get those medals. And there's nothing more to be proud of than having read all of the New Testament in a short period of time. You can also get it for the Old Testament as well. And that would be great if you wanted to do that. It'd be a few more chapters a day. But it would be great. So I challenge you to do that. That's not much. Don't ask much of you out of your time. That wouldn't take much. That doesn't take more than 10 or 15, 20 minutes of your time. And isn't God worth it? Isn't His Word worth 15 or 20 minutes of our day with our children reading His Word? Having an opportunity to hear the words of God with our children. Now, in regard to their children, parents typically concern themselves with 3 things: providing for them, preparing them to be adults, and leaving them a legacy. How does the Bible fit into those concerns? Let me ask you, is there anything better that you can provide for your children than the Christian faith? You can put your children through college and prepare them to work in the secular world, but have you really been successful if you don't prepare them to be children of God? Adulthood is hard. I can't even begin to imagine living the adult life without the hope of God and Christianity, without the power of prayer daily in my life. If you want to prepare your children to be adults, prepare them to be Christian adults. Everything else will take care of itself from that point on. And if you're going to leave a legacy to your children, leave a legacy of a wonderful Christian parent who showed God's love every day. That's a legacy. My dad's been a preacher for nearly 50 years. He's not going to leave me much. Old 65 Ford truck, still got it. Some furniture maybe. They won't have any money. That's all right. For they've left me something far more valuable than any bank account could ever hold. May we as parents do that as well. You know, may we not hide God from our loved ones. Psalm 78, verses 4 through 8. Psalmist says, "We will not hide them from their children," telling to them being God's word or God's commandments, "telling to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He has done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, the children who would be born, that they may arise and declare them to their children, and they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but instead keep His commandments, and may not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not set its heart aright and whose spirit was not faithful to God." How do we ensure the future of the church? By telling the next generation how to be faithful. And then telling the next generation how to be faithful. And then people will do the commandments of God and not be stubborn and rebellious, as the psalmist says here. Well, how does this fit into the memories our children will have at home? Well, there's a story one time about a lady who passed away, Christian lady, grandmother, great-grandmother. And the family came together and they were talking with the funeral director, and they said, well, one thing, they viewed how they had her prepared for the viewing, and they said, something's missing. Someone brought a Bible and placed it into her hands. Said that's what she always had in her hand in life. Why wouldn't she have it in her hands now? One day when we breathe our last breath upon this earth, what will they put in our hands? What was something that they saw in your hands all the time that would remind them of you? May it be God's Word. They saw it in your hands. They saw it in your life. They saw it in your heart. Show that to your children. Show that to your spouse. Show that to your grandchildren. Instead of spoiling them, show them God's Word. If you're not a Christian this evening, we hope and pray that you make the decision to become one. If you understand what you need, if you understand your need, and we hope and pray that you come believing in Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus as the Son of God, and being buried in baptism. If you don't understand what you need, but you want to become God's child, you want to do what is right, then please come see me or any of the members here, and they will direct you to someone who can sit down with you, and we'd be glad and overjoyed to study the Bible with you, to show you God's Word, that it might take your life to greater heights, and it will. If you're a child of God tonight, maybe this hasn't been number one priority. Maybe this has been left in a drawer and it's gathering dust. Take it out of the drawer tonight when you get home. Or if you have it in your hand right now, don't put it in the drawer when you get home. Sit down and read it. Because that's the only way it makes a difference. There's a gentleman in Abilene, Texas named Romy Perryman. Brother Romy is a retired preacher. I don't know how many years Brother Romy preached. Very soft-spoken man. But you look at his Bible, the pages are falling out of it. He has so many marks in it that he's written in it that you can't. I said, Brother Romy, I don't know how you even read your Bible anymore. He said, I've read it 7 times this year. That was just before I moved here. I've read it 7 times, and he was on his 8th. He loves God's Word. If you're a child of God, love God's Word, and it'll change your life in ways you just cannot even begin to imagine. We can assist you in any way tonight, won't you let us, as we stand, as we sing.